It has been established that persons who have recently died have been returning to life and committing acts of murder.
Believe the ghosts?
First simply disappeared, the other two died.
Pretties. Welcome to the second installment of our in-depth analysis on the cult of Mother God, Love is One. If you have not had the chance to tune into part one, I highly recommend pausing this episode now and going to part one. This way you'll stay fully aligned with the discussion as I am going to pick up right where we left off. So get comfortable, because sweet dreams are made of these. The story contains subject matter involving graphic descriptions of cults, religion, verbal and mental abuse, racism, mental disorders, eating disorders, and death. Please take into consideration that some topics may be disturbing for some listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Soon after, Jason was promoted to the role of primary Father God, Father of all creation, while the previous Father God, whose name was John, was demoted to Father of the Multiverse. Jason began referring to himself as reincarnations of Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, and Lucifer himself. Mother God was the symbol of light and the protector of the higher dimension, while Father God, now him, was symbolic of Lucifer on Earth, who gave out the punishments for the cult members. According to Amy, Father God, aka Jason Castillo, was contracted to go down into the dark, into the lower planets, into the lower realms, to master them as Lucifer, while Mother God remained in the light. And despite the five previous Father Gods, Amy insisted that Jason was definitively the first time in 19 billion years that her and her twin flame have reunited on this planet Earth. In my research, I noticed that there was a shift in the narrative within Love is One, where the new Father God was suddenly being portrayed as Lucifer, the fallen angel. Previous members and old Father Gods did not have criminal records. Amy had a DUI, but she was considered God, so it didn't matter. The new Father God, Jason, had a long list of criminal offenses and was addicted to meth. This addiction often led to heated arguments between him and Amy, resulting in him being banished to the basement or the forest in a tent until he publicly repented on live streams. Whenever Love is One members expressed concern about Jason's aggressive behavior, Amy would simply respond, "He's Father God, Lucifer, my twin flame. He brings the dark, and as Mother God, it is my job to help cleanse the dark." For members of Love is One, this extreme level of battered verbal and emotional abuse from Jason was likely a new experience, unlike anything they had ever encountered before. However, according to Amy's family, she had a history of abusive relationships, so Jason's dynamic was probably familiar to her. A chaotic love tragedy, it's a deeply unfortunate and distressing situation, and many who find themselves in these scenarios should seek help. Love is One members had no issues with the abuse from Amy, because they rationalized it as she was the only true God. However, Jason Castillo's newfound status brought about bouts of anger and arrogance. Members put it in simple terms that they viewed him as a dick. He was often drinking and getting high just as much as Amy, which was 24/7, and they were both aggressive alcoholics. Despite Jason's volatile behavior, he remained devoted to Amy, rarely leaving her side. Jason considered himself an earthly figure. His diet consisted of alcohol and 6 raw eggs a day, and he exerted his power by changing the house's peaceful music to loud, aggressive heavy metal. He and Amy screamed at each other all the time, and it can be heard in their online videos. Love is One members, at this point, we are getting verbal, mental, and even on occasions physical abuse by Amy. But she's God. She can hit them all she wants. That's what she's branded into these poor people. And soon, the social hierarchy within Love is One started taking out their power, their ranking, to abuse other members as well. Because Amy would implement, if you rat out other people who are betraying me or not following the rules, then you're seen in my good graces. God's good graces, actually. So this is a cult thing. Like, Jim Jones has done it. Ruck Theriault has done it. It's that whole idea of, if we can deflect everything that I could possibly do wrong and I'm not going to get in trouble and I can rat someone out, then they're not going to look at me if I ever do anything wrong. However, I did notice that with Love is One, it wasn't specific people getting bullied. Everyone got shit on. So it was just a big group of tattletales. Amy would instigate all these imaginary problems, and she would scream at the top of her lungs while intoxicated, and she would claim that her followers were not treating her right because Robin Williams told her that they weren't, and she would force them to confess on these live streams. Members, they would have to gather around like a camera, and then one by one, they would just start saying all the things that they've done wrong until Amy was like, that's it. That's the problem. She wouldn't specifically call out what they would do that bothered her. She just wanted them to basically say all their problems, starting from their childhood all the way to when she decides that's the issue. And then other members would be like, you're a terrible person. And these confessionals were weekly occurrences. Amy would call out people, or people would have told Amy that they were registering on a lower vibration and they were bringing the morale of the group down, and then they would get pretty much sentenced to confess over live stream. All these members who were viewed as low energy were sent to either live in the Mission House, which was a smaller area on the property, or if they were in really bad graces with Father God or Amy, then they were sent to live in tents in the bushes, and they had space heaters. Amy, if she was drunk or feeling nasty, she would tell Father God that Robin Williams said that they were being mean to her and that they should take away their space heaters while they were living outside. There's videos of it. You can watch it all online. Those high energy members that were in good graces with Amy and Father God, they were allowed to live in the cabin with Amy. So there's that social hierarchy where they were encouraged to bully and mock others who did anything against the rules. And Father God, Jason, he was a big presence in getting into everyone's faces to the point of making them cry because they allegedly hurt Mom. And this ranged from sleeping over 4 hours, eating more than what was prescribed by Amy, and even just asking for the smallest things, to making her food incorrectly. And if we can observe one thing about Amy Carlson, is that you do not deny this lady a one-way ticket to Flavortown. She wants a sandwich, you make Daddy a sandwich. If she wants chicken parmesan, you make her chicken parmesan. You don't make her meatballs. Here's an audio clip of Amy yelling at Father of Multiverse, John, for making her meatballs instead of chicken parmesan.
My vision was chicken parmesan. So the fucking Adams turn around on me and get me meatballs. I didn't say meatballs. I love meatballs. But I didn't fucking say that. Chicken parmesan. I get fucked up every fucking moment by you fucking motherfucking whores. My Adams. I'm like, I just need a tequila. Like, it takes like 5 rounds of whores to get me a tequila. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You know what? You can take your half-ass god and shove it up your fucking ass! I'm gonna take another tequila shot. I'll fucking do that shit. Bitch, where's my tequila shot?
Elmoira, another member, he explained that he had to publicly live stream a confession that he hurt Mom by making her a quesadilla wrong. Meanwhile, Amy can be heard just screaming in the background. And they're not words, they're more like possessed screeches. So you can really start to see Love Has Won grasping their destructive behavior and the abuse. The rules and restrictions are starting to come into play. And if you're familiar with the past lullaby episodes on cults, these destructive patterns I've discussed before are going to jump out right at you. Let's start with the number one rule of Love Has Won. Number one, cut relations with non-believers who won't surrender to Mother God. Isolate. This is a direct quote from the Love Has Won guidebook. If you are experiencing other people coming regularly into your thoughts and negative feelings such as guilt or shame associated with them, this is the product of attachment. The divine state is not attached, holding unconditional love for all regardless of perceived feelings. Cutting cords is an important feature of shedding attachments. Breathe into the chest and heart space, allowing your awareness and consciousness to travel down into the heart, remaining clear in thought and present in the moment of now. You are going to speak aloud. I cut cords with everything that is not pure, true, whole, or in resonance with love. I cut cords with, and then this is where they would insert and say the name of the person that they want to cut attachments with. I reattach cords with everything that is pure, whole, true, in resonance with love, with magical moments and events, end quote. Number two, of course, dietary and food restrictions. Symbolic of communion within the group, so everyone has the same issues. When people are hungry, they will usually do whatever they can for food. Control mechanism. In Love is One, the followers, they were tasked with determining their own weekly meal plan, which would then be submitted to Amy for approval. If she accepted this, then the archangels of higher vibration would source the approved items from local food banks. And Love is One would apply for food stamps on behalf of the children that were not under their care. And this is where it gets more complex, because Amy starts projecting her eating disorders onto her followers. Because if everyone does it, then it's not an issue. Amy was starting to eat less because of her chronic alcoholism, and she developed anorexia. Now, Amy often discouraged eating for her members by claiming that energy used in digestion could be better utilized elsewhere, worshiping her. All of the Love is One members, they began to lose weight very quickly. And as for Amy, she found it easy to limit her food intake because she was constantly drinking. And a video online shows Father God Jason urging a follower of Love is One to, quote, get away from food and accept the liquor. Former members explained that during live streams, Amy would consume between 6 to 7 highball glasses of straight vodka each night. That's 12 ounces. A highball is 12 ounces. So 7 of those, that's 84 ounces. That's like 2.5 liters of vodka. Brother! Oh man, I can't even drink a cap full of Bailey's without becoming giggly. Like, I couldn't even imagine. But that's tolerance for you. So she's slamming back vodka like Augustus Gloop in the Wonka Factory. And her tolerance was so built up since she was a late teenager, she used drinking as a coping mechanism for all the internal hurt and unsatisfaction she felt in her life, probably plus the abusive relationships. Now, these are going by everything that her family has stated and her behavior going into adulthood. That's what I'm basing this off of. Now, the amount of alcohol Amy could consume was enough to make members believe that she truly was a god, because to them, who could, to anyone I know, who could drink that fucking much? Amy was known to down like 24 tequila shots in a row, plus the vodka, plus the beer, plus the full bottles of concentrated liquid THC she would consume. And then she would just go on video and she would rant about conspiracies, non-believers, calling them bitches and whores, and my personal favorite, dick whores. So according to the Love is One diet, food was seen as a hindrance to spiritual ascension. Veganism, vegetarianism, genetically modified foods, and excessive sugar were all strictly prohibited from Love is One. The Love is One Ascension Guide states, quote, animals living in unity, consciousness, in true reality, have volunteered to come to Earth to aid our ascension. Red meat is crucial for the connection between the left and right brain. Divine intelligence cannot be achieved without the animals. We consume them to ascend. Veganism is a pain-based belief system. All pain and suffering are illusions. Part of the ego program mind, designed to lower vibration, vegans often exhibit judgment, a sense of superiority, control, and a need to be right. Regarding smoking, Love is One asserts that all act itself is not harmful, and any associated illness or long-term effects are simply illusions. However, the Ascension Guide specifies the only acceptable type of tobacco and how it should be used. Organic hand-rolled tobacco. Tobacco is not inherently bad. However, box cigarettes have been weaponized. End quote. Yeah, this just sounds like someone who's really trying to validate their own existence. What did vegans ever do to her? I'm not even vegan and I feel personally attacked by Amy Carlson. The next one, number three, sleep deprivation. By 2019, the daily routine was established in Love is One that they had to wake up at 5 a.m. and then they had to be on Facebook Live by 6 a.m. for streaming. Former members, they revealed that Amy permitted only 2 to 4 hours of sleep in total, if they were lucky, because there was a video of a member getting roasted for sleeping for an hour. So sleep, according to this handbook, over 4 hours was not permitted. Sitting was not permitted, and she considered food, sleep, and sitting for long periods to be hindrances to Amy's spiritual ascension. Now, I found videos of Archaea Hope and Archaea Aurora all denying claims that cult members were not allowed to sit down. At the same time, there's also videos of the same members saying that they were never doing drugs or on mushrooms. And then there's videos of them saying, wow, we love doing drugs and mushrooms. So they backpedal when necessary, pretty much. There's a video online where Father God Jason is humiliating members for sneaking naps. And the remainder of the day was supposed to be everyone working on the property or devoting time to Mother God. And in complete opposite to that, Amy would always take these daily naps that stretched for hours, but she told her followers that they were, quote, etheric meetings with the galactics. So her and Father God would go curl up in bed and have nice, long, peaceful sleeps. Now, this next rule that they have is bonkers to me. Number 4, stare at the sun or practice sun gazing regularly. Love as One members, they were to make a habit of learning to open their eyelids and stare directly into the sun to burn away their inner darkness. Love as One guide states, quote, "The sun will not blind you. This is a myth to stop people from looking at the sun because it is one of our most powerful healing tools. It contains important activation codes that can cause us to rise to the frequency of love. You can sun gaze at any time of the day. However, your eyes need training. If you want to jump right into the deep end and stare at the sun holding your eyes open, go ahead." End quote. Nah, Amy, I'm good. Number 5, adhere to a specific speech and surrender to Amy's thought pattern. All other religions and beliefs are lies. The Love is One Ascension Guide states that the followers must, quote, "eliminate low vibration vocabulary. An extensive amount of vocabulary that we use is merely a product of the mind and is therefore a low frequency. Vocabulary to remove includes wants, needs, and desires. They are of the mind. Love just is. It is not want, need, or desire anything. I want, I need, I desire. Upgrade to I have, I am, I think. Upgrade to I feel, remind. Upgrade to re-heart. Discussions of the past and daydreaming about the future prevent us from living in the present moment now." End quote. Love is One, they had this acronym IDKS, which meant I don't know shit. And Amy would tell her members that whenever they had any questions regarding anything, specifically anything she said, that they were to repeat IDKS, I don't know shit. Number 6, members were to remain celibate unless assigned a twin flame from Amy or she initiated relations. Throughout Love is One, there was only one child that was born out of these Love is One unions. Number 7, stop taking prescription medications. Love is One believes, quote, "We have been severely brain damaged by pharmaceuticals, vaccinations, genetically modified food, chemtrails, and video games, to name a few. It is essential that you stop interacting deliberately with these engineered things," end quote. Instead, what Love is One decided to do was Michael Lamboy and Amy claimed their homemade products cured a surplus of ailments. And in true Amy Carlson fashion, she lied about only ever relying on organic methods to alleviate her pain, as now her body is starting to shut down from organ failure from all her drinking. Her toxicity report, I'm coming in with the juice, sister. Amy Carlson did take pharmaceuticals. She did take prescription drugs because her toxicity report revealed that Vicodin and dilated hydromorphine was in her system. Dilated hydromorphine is a drug that is 10 times more potent than morphine and is 1/10 as strong as fentanyl. The more Amy drank, the less food she consumed. She was getting sicker and sicker by the day. And as her body started to break down, it started causing pain. Now, what Amy said was this pain was her trying to transmute all the pain in the world, and she was taking it in on herself, which is why she was allowed to consume all the alcohol and all the drugs to make her feel better. But what Amy and her high-ranking cult members didn't tell the world was that she was, in fact, using pharmaceuticals for her pain. Her followers, they continued to insist that Mother God was only relying on organic products before her death.
Liar!
Number 8. Money is self-important and not needed and is to be donated to Love as One. This one's pretty self-explanatory. And Jim Jones did the exact same thing. A former member, Sarah, she had miraculously survived a life-threatening illness, and it had her in a coma for 10 days. Then over time, she accumulated $500,000 in medical bills. And Sarah was on the HBO's Love is One documentary, and she is so brave. And she explained that she was in such a dark hole when she had found Love is One, and the group at first was so loving, warm, and enticing. And yes, the cult members of Love is One were very good at, when they were sober and trying to recruit people, of being nice and very kind and open. Meanwhile, during their live streams, for example, Arkea Hope, she's making fun of people with disabilities. It's awful. When Sarah arrived at Love is One, she was hungry and she knew that there was a pizza place nearby. So she went, she had her own money, and she treated herself. When Archangel Michael Lamboy found out, because this is the man in charge of the finances, he told Sarah that that was not allowed, that was selfish, and all the money she had was to go to Love is One. Yet Mother God, Amy, was able to get whatever she desired, from the personal hot tubs to the go-karts, and Love is One would accumulate over $300,000 in a short period of time. All of this money was managed by Michael Lamboy, and a lot of the money came in from donations across the world. Should any of these regulations be violated, the offender would be subjected to verbal attacks from Amy, Jason, and many other members. Toddlers were even subjected to abuse. A fact that the documentary does not delve into was, during a live stream, you can see this video, there is a wailing child that is confined in a dark closet by Jason under Amy's directive, simply because the child was crying. The child's mother nonchalantly picks up this toddler, hands it over to Amy, and Amy starts telling this child to surrender to God while gripping it under its arms, making the child cry even harder. It's just a little baby. The kid doesn't know what's going on. She then hands it to Jason, and Jason goes and puts it in the closet, and they're all like, good, get in there. This closet is dark, it's locked, and this child is alone. And then there are 7 other full-grown adult followers present in the next room, and they're all unanimously agreeing with Amy's decision to support her actions to abuse this child. Then sometime later, Jason will retrieve the child, and he hands it back to Amy, only for the terrified kid to start crying again. And this prompts Amy to return the infant back into the closet. The followers, they all concurred that Mother God was just disciplining a child. Now, this brings to mind Amy's own childhood, remember, when her stepmother would subject her to being locked in the closet, leaving her traumatized and scared. However, as Amy matured, instead of breaking free from the cycle of abuse, she perpetuated it. Her followers, they continue to support her decisions to this day, and they condone this behavior as, quote, a time out. There is a huge difference between a time out in a corner and being locked alone into a dark closet after being told to surrender to an alcoholic, mentally unstable woman claiming to be God. She is not the child's mother. Don't forget, the child's mother was in the room and she was the one who handed the infant to Amy. That shows how much control Amy had over this group. Amy not only demanded humans to surrender to her, but she also demanded that animals did as well. A video can be seen of Amy grabbing her cat and holding it in front of the computer monitor, and she's yelling at it to surrender to her. She holds this cat up higher by the scruff while it's meowing in distress, and she just starts calling it a bitch and a whore. Later, in 2020, Amy appears on Dr. Phil, Dr. P, with Hope and Aurora via Skype, and Dr. Phil calls Amy out on her abuse within the cult. Amy rationalizes all her behavior that they're all out of context in these videos. These videos are not short, they're long on the internet. What context do we need? Plus, Dr. Phil gives her the opportunity to put these into context, and Amy says that she's just treating her cat like a mother cat treats its kittens, and that putting a child in the closet is just a timeout. Well, that didn't sit well with Dr. Phil. He points out the differences between exploitive, abusive, narcissistic personality behavior towards the members and normal behavior. Amy just argued that the videos were taken out of context and she's just frustrated, but yet she won't seek help. Hope and Aurora, they continue to defend Amy, and they say that they're both college graduates and the smartest Love Is One members, and that everything Dr. Phil was talking about was taken out of context. Dr. Phil had Rick Ross come on, he's a cult expert, and he started telling them that this behavior is abusive. Arkea, Hope, and Aurora, all they do is say that if everything the experts were saying was true, then they would have left because they're college graduates, and that Amy would have let them leave. And this is also a false statement, as because in many live streams, former members who have snuck away or tried to sneak away have been publicly bullied and mocked over live streams by Hope and other members. Dr. Phil just says, okay, you saying we're taking everything out of context? I am giving you the spotlight. Put everything into context. Aurora deflected the abuse and said that she wished to move on because she disagrees that it's not abuse and, quote, timeouts are just timeouts. Oh, Dr. Phil cuts her off and says, that's not true. Timeouts are not taking a child and locking them in a dark closet. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Dr. Phil. What do you know? Dropping facts like it's his job. Aurora's response? We'll move on. And Dr. Phil says, quote, yeah, we'll move on because you don't know what you're talking about. Get him. If you have the time, please watch this Dr. Phil interview with Amy. She is so Xanaxed and calm, and then her two Disney villain sidekicks are just lizard-facing the entire time. I will talk more about the Dr. Phil interview once 2020 hits in the timeline. The reason I went over and discussed this portion of the animal and child abuse now is because it's relevant to the reference of the points that I was trying to make. So as we can see, the metaphorical shit has hit the fan with the introduction of Father God and this deterioration of Amy's mental and physical health. You guys, it only gets worse. Love Is One began consistently warning their followers about the ascension of Mother God and asserting that those on Earth who didn't believe in them were simply blinded by the ego-driven influences of capitalism and societal norms. They resorted to using vulgar names to demean those who didn't align with their beliefs. Slowly, as new members joined, they started emptying their bank accounts and cashing out their retirement savings to donate to Amy. Around 20 members were now living with the group, and their constant indulgence in partying, drug use, and alcohol began to take its toll on Amy. She would often break down into tears during live stream parties, claiming that humanity was draining her energy and exploiting her. Amy attributed her constant screaming to being energetically overwhelmed, stating that it was all a part of the divine plan for her ascension. Followers noticed the change in Amy's aggressive demeanor, but they rationalized it as Mother God releasing pent-up negative and hatred from the world. They believed that Amy's screaming and insults towards non-believers was her way of processing the energy. Amy started lashing out at her followers for the most trivial reasons. Love Is One followers were convinced that Amy used alcohol as a tool to channel certain messages that they needed to hear. Despite her erratic behavior when drunk, they still saw her as sweet, kind, and forgiving. One of Amy's defenses was that Robin Williams had messages from the extraterrestrial beings for the non-believers on Earth, referring to them as bitches and assholes. Amy also stated that Robin had given her high-ranking instructions to punish members who didn't truly believe in her, and she would send them to Desolation Row. According to Amy, Robin Williams was disgusted by their lack of respect for her. Elmoira defended Amy, stating that she was always kind, but when another spirit would come through her vessel, they were not as kind. He observed that they were more prone to screaming and lacked the calmness and composure that Amy typically displayed. Members would comment on Amy's drunk abusive behavior, wondering why a god would be so cruel to her disciples, only to be met with screams, threats, and lectures from other members, including Father God Jason. There are many online videos of Jason and Amy belittling members to the point where followers start breaking down into tears. Then the person would be told not to play the victim, while everyone else in the group just laughed. Whenever Amy began to have panic attacks, or what Love Is One called negative spinning, followers would rush to her side, reminding her that she was Mother God and needed to prioritize herself. Archaea Hope revealed that Amy confessed to her multiple times when she was in pain that she was not Mother God, and that the entire story was a lie that she created. Whenever Amy would make these confessions to Love Is One loyalists in private, they enabled her previous beliefs that she was in fact Mother God. They would then go on live streams and explain that Mother was spinning, but they were there to remind her of her divine plan. Archaea Aurora explained that Amy started using alcohol and THC the more the pain in her body increased. Amy told her followers that the alcohol was keeping her alive, and that to, quote, the untrained eye, it looks like a severe case of alcoholism. Biological family members began to get more concerned the more they tuned into Love Is One live streams and video posts. Archaea Hope's mother was concerned that if others were in a bad headspace and vulnerable, that if they watched propaganda and religion videos of Amy Carlson as Mother God, that they would latch on. So parents started seeking answers online. In 2018, the Love Is One cult was at the peak of its religious crusade. With many rules and regulations in place, Amy constantly broke her own rules, specifically the group's public homophobia, viewing homosexuality as ego being resistance to God's divine plan. A former member who defected from the cult told an interviewer that many of the female followers had sexual relations with Amy. He provided names of several members involved, and instances he was privy to, such as one incident where a female student performed oral sex on Amy after she joined. Amy's followers dedicated many hours to meticulously documenting every action of Mother God, creating what they saw as a historical record. Archaea Hope even boldly declared that her documentation of Mother God was the real Bible and the true story of Jesus Christ. Many of these documentations just list the times that Amy would sneeze, drink, consume drugs, have physical pain, yell, and even show moments of happiness. As Amy's health began to deteriorate faster, Love Is One found themselves in need of more funds. They set up an online store under the legal ownership of Archangel Michael Lamboy. The company was called Gaia's Whole Healing Essentials. The group firmly believed that all illnesses stemmed from energy imbalances and that the Western healthcare, or medical system, they referred to it, was designed to perpetuate illness. They refer to hospitals as 3D hospitals and express a general distrust of doctors and mainstream medicine. Gaia's Whole Healing Essentials claimed to have sold organic calming herbs and supplements, healing crystals, sage, cleansing tools, pumpkin spice body butter, and spiritual surgeries to promote Love Is One online. Items came in God boxes that contained random gifts picked out by Amy and her disciples, as well as a handwritten letter from Robin Williams. The business was relatively successful and brought in thousands of dollars a month, which only Amy was allowed to spend. Disciple El Moira explained that what separated Love Is One from the hippies was, quote, "What the hippies got it wrong. They just wanted to go make up communities and do nothing and just sit around and smoke pot, do hallucinogens and have sex. And they just didn't do anything because they rejected society. Love Is One is all about learning how to get through the back door. That's what mom taught us. Just like McDonald's, you know. How could God work at McDonald's? She put the love in the food." Love Is One believed that everything they were doing was a part of a journey to help Amy Carlson ascend into the fifth dimension with the galactic aliens. One day, the starship would land, and they would take her and her chosen, removing pain from the world, ascending into space. Love Is One advocated for the healing properties of colloidal silver, which Love Is One makes and sells through their natural organic products. The group claimed that their products, particularly their colloidal silver, was undermining the pharmaceutical industry. In a live stream, Commander Buddha jokingly told viewers to, quote, "go get your Kool-Aid," referencing the infamous 1978 mass murder-suicide orchestrated by cult leader Reverend Jim Jones, where over 900 people were coerced into consuming cyanide-laced Flavor Aid. If you have not listened to the full historical examination of Jim Jones and People's Temple, I have already done a two-part episode on Lullaby the Fear podcast. After the cruel Kool-Aid joke, many members laughed, and an elderly member off-camera reassured viewers that the Kool-Aid would not kill them, but rather enhance their lives. In a live demonstration, Love Is One showed that they used a blowtorch and a hot plate to extract silver from the real silver piece, which they then mixed with turmeric and electrolytes to create their signature brand of colloidal silver. Amy Carlson touted that the product was one of the most ancient healing products on the planet, claiming that it could cure anything. Colloidal silver products are made from tiny bits of silver that float in a liquid. This is the same type of precious metal used in jewelry, dental fillings, and silverware. However, colloidal silver products are often marked as dietary supplements by New Age spiritualists to take by mouth, These products also come in forms to use on the skin, with the purpose of antibacterial and antiviral properties, as well as wound healing. It has also shown dangerous significant risks. More research is needed to fully understand the effects on health, and people should always consult their certified healthcare professional before starting any new supplement regime. Amy Carlson groomed her followers to believe that any 3D doctor is not to be trusted, because she knows more, as she is Mother God. The dosage of colloidal silver can vary depending on the product and the reason for use. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration does not consider colloidal silver to be safe or effective for treating any disease or condition. Therefore, there is no recommended dosage. Some manufacturers may suggest a dosage on their product labels, but these recommendations can vary widely and may not be safe or effective. The National Institute of Health warns that high doses of colloidal silver can lead to serious side effects, including argyria. This is a condition that causes the skin to turn a bluish-gray slate color, which is usually permanent, as colloidal silver can also interfere with the absorption of other medications. In 2019, LoveIsOne began branding their colloidal silver as the cure for COVID to treat lung infections. Their product description was as follows. Using colloidal silver to boost your immune system. Colloidal silver is the key to protecting yourself from the coronavirus. It is recommended to take colloidal silver at least 3 times a day to keep your immune system functioning at its highest capacity. Also, if you begin to show symptoms of the virus, up your doses to 5 times a day. In a medical system that is failing, which is being witnessed in China right now, there is no other solution to protecting yourself from the coronavirus. End quote. Alternative healing is a significant part of LoveIsOne's philosophy, and specifically business model. According to their teachings, lemon and baking soda can cure cancer, turmeric can cure diabetes, and frankincense can alleviate depression. But Amy and her followers always taught people that the first cure was to seek out Amy Carlson. They created an ascension guide for followers, which contained affirmations and questionable health advice. In September of 2020, a LoveIsOne member suggested that what might seem like a heart attack could be the heart expanding, saying, quote, "The dark side has fooled all of humanity into thinking you're having a heart attack. But when your heart is expanding, you will get pain in your chest, sometimes down your arms. Just breathe. You are growing in love, so don't run to the doctors. They're not going to help you. Love is helping you. Mother God is helping you." While back in 2018, the strain of constant arguments between Amy and Jason, Father God, reached a breaking point, Amy announced to her followers that the Galactics had instructed her and a select group of high-ranking disciples to relocate to Oregon, while the other LoveIsOne members were to move to Creston, Colorado. Amy, along with her chosen followers, embarked on a 9-hour drive into the desert, deliberately leaving Father God Jason behind. Amy told him, quote, "You're in the lower energy and you cannot be around us right now. But if you are Father God, you'll find a way to us." Archaea Aurora was one of those chosen to move to Crestone with the other followers. Upon arrival, they found themselves without a place to stay and had to camp outdoors for 6 weeks until Amy received another message from the Galactics. During this period, Archaea Aurora, Archaea Faith, Archangel Michael, and others would frequent places with free Wi-Fi across town, making posts and doing live streams about Mother God, until they were asked to leave for freeloading. While one half of LoveIsOne was camping in Creston, Colorado, Amy Carlson and a select few rented a nice camper on a lake in Oregon. After 24 days, Father God Jason managed to find his way back to Amy, who joyfully welcomed him back, exclaiming that Father God had chosen love over meth in another triumph for the light. Jason proposed to Amy right after, and she accepted. Using the LoveIsOne funds, Amy purchased a quaint house nearby, and other members were invited to live there. According to Father God Jason, Amy's health began to deteriorate fast as soon as he returned to her. He claimed that he had killed her energetically, not physically. In 2018, Oregon was experiencing a severe drought. On July 7th, a LoveIsOne member named Aaron was instructed by the angels to burn some sage in the house. The sage caught fire, leading to a massive brush fire that engulfed the entire LoveIsOne property. Members live-streamed the fire, praising Mother God's divine plan that everything was coming together. Archaea Hope recounted how Father God Jason had rescued her and Mother God from the fire, while others fled for safety. Archaea Hope proudly ran back into the burning building to save Mom's bottle of vodka and ice. Aaron would humorously recall that she confessed to Amy that she had accidentally caused the fire, to which Amy responded, "I know, bitch, the angels told me." After the fire, Archangel Michael Lamboy told Amy that he had a house that the group could stay at back in Creston, Colorado. The other half of LoveIsOne members who were still camping in Creston, Colorado, were delighted to be back in the presence of Mother God. Archangel Michael Lamboy arranged that Love Is One could stay in a broken-down mission trailer that was under his name. Love Is One members banded together and renovated the house in 2 days. The house became brightly adorned with Christmas lights, tie-dye sheets, crystal pyramids, candles, unicorns, stars, and chimes. Ex-member Erin recalled how she considered the fire and organ to be a catalyst for all of creation, for Love Is One to be reunited with Mom. The live streams continued spontaneously as the 20 followers collected in Amy's bedroom, while she and Father God sat on the bed surrounded by their loyalists. The image was to represent what Jesus was like with his disciples around his feet. Archaea Hope was documenting everything Amy said and did. For example, the medication she took, the drugs she consumed, and the trip experiences, down to the exact date and time. Archaea Hope and Archaea Aurora began training with Amy to become Love Is One oracles, to communicate directly with Robin Williams and the Galactics to get protocols. Archaea Hope and Archaea Aurora also took over the daily 5D full disclosure live streams that started at 6 a.m., reiterating how Mother God was transmuting all of the pain and negative energy in humanity. When people would tune in from around the world, they would ask if they missed their real families, where Love Is One members would aggressively say, "Fuck no, Mother and Father God of creation are our parents." Amy Carlson is claiming that she is receiving guidance from the extraterrestrial beings, the Galactics, specifically Robin Williams, regarding her diet. Amy is extremely malnourished, as her main sources of sustenance are drugs and alcohol, and this weight loss is so dramatic. And she started to teach her followers that eating less would elevate their vibrations to be on a higher level. Commander Buddha, who is a member of Love Is One, he lost over 100 pounds in a very short period of time by only consuming oatmeal, as dictated by Amy. As I mentioned before, according to Amy, food and sleep were societal constructs created by the ego. And she preached that the fifth dimensional world, individuals would no longer need food, money, or sleep. Therefore, she was doing her followers a favor by teaching them how to live without food. Amy's condition only got worse, led to anorexia, and she would joke, referring to herself as Miss Princess Anorexic, while her followers reassured her that she was perfect and didn't need to change. Within a very short period of time, Amy's weight dropped from a normal BMI, a normal body mass index, to underweight. And concerned family members of Love Is One, they noticed this dramatic weight loss. And it wasn't just Amy, it was everyone else in the group. Archaea Hope's biological mother, she seen this and was stressed out. It was her daughter in this cult. And she wasn't just concerned for her daughter, she was concerned for everyone else that was in this cult. So she created a Facebook group dedicated to exposing Love Is One with an effort to inform the public and protect vulnerable individuals from joining. In 2019, Amy posted a video where she was alone and it was obvious that she had been crying for a long time prior to recording this video. Amy shows this relatable side where she's like, "I'm experiencing this pain and it's awful," and it's weird because it seems like she remembers that she has to keep up this appearance that she is God. And then she goes into how regular people wouldn't understand the pain she's going through because it's a level 800 of pain. And she's working with the Galactics every moment for this ascension, and it can't be explained in human terms. Hope and Aurora, they posted a video explaining to humanity that Mom's physical health is declining because Mother God is working to pull all the negative energy and pain from 7 billion people on the planet up. And here's a quote from one of their live streams. "Anyone who tries to fuck with us will kill you. We will fucking kill you because there's no time left. And we've seen our mom suffer so much." End quote. And speaking of death, this is where things get a little bit juicy. So if you have your tea, if you have your coffee, your latte, whatever you have, top it up, sit down, because it's going to get juicy, all right? You're going to be drinking from an empty cup by the end of this. Now, it's never been proven if Love Is One has ever gone through with their death threats, because they get very openly, publicly violent with their threats during their live streams. There have been occasions where different members have disappeared and or left to die in the desert. In 2019, a new member named Robert Foley, he mysteriously disappeared after giving Amy his $10,000 trust fund and his SUV. Love Is One refuses to acknowledge his existence, and he has never been found. His last post was on Facebook in August 2019, and it said the following. "My Earth name is Robert Foley. I was born in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Joined Mission in 2019. awoken during teen years through spiritual tools, and chose to leave home in search of mother, but was sidetracked by addictions. During these times, the things that I saw and felt give me a perspective on what has to be done to our beautiful planet, our eternal mother, and her lovely children. Seeing through the veil of what the dark forces were trying to hide, creations that have been manifested by this manipulation of our thought forms, after these experiences, the path has been made clear. To be the light in the darkness, to complete the mission that we have been contracted for, and most importantly, to be of service to our beautiful mother. End quote. He was last in love as one, and he was never seen again. So fast forward to May 23rd, 2020. A man named Alex Witten, who had seemingly lived a stereotypical American dream, he was found naked, dehydrated, with cactus needles in his feet, wandering aimlessly, appearing to be hallucinating in the desert. Now, the events leading up to this near-death experience remain somewhat of a mystery. If there's anything that we do know, love is one, it was definitely involved. According to Alex's wife, it only took 6 weeks of Alex watching Love is One videos for him to become completely brainwashed. He would leave the dinner table to watch live streams twice a day, and after undergoing a psychic surgery with Love is One over the phone, his wife noticed a darkness in him that she had never seen before. Then one day, in a very Amy Carlson fashion, he up and left his family. This is important. Alex had no history of mental illness, and neither he nor his wife had any interest in spirituality or religion. He had a very good life. He had 2 children, he had a 6-figure job, and he lived in a comfortable home. What is known, however, was that Alex appeared in a Love is One livestream video on May 21st, 2020, expressing his eternal gratitude for finding Mother God Amy Carlson. Alex had abandoned everything to honor her, claiming that she was the physical mother of Jesus on earth, and he pleaded for others to join the group and help mom in any way possible over this live stream. On May 22nd, 2020, Alex informed his wife that he had spent the day removing darkness from the Father God, Jason Castillo. Jason had told Alex that he could, quote, no longer handle it alone, and that Alex needed to take it on. But what does that mean? He then gave Alex a deadline of 3 days. Now, this is going to sound very familiar. Patterns, guys, patterns. During a Love is One live stream, the group spoke negatively about Alex's energy, and they laughed, stating that he was, quote, on the wrong side of the mountain. Another member asked on the chat where Alex was, and another member of Love is One said, quote, we are not Alex's babysitter. You know him. Go find him. We are here for God, not whores that desert God, end quote. A member commented that they were not responsible for Alex and that his family should find out what was happening. Well, of course, Alex's family immediately launched a rescue mission. They really had no idea what was going on. They could only go by these ambiguous comments on this live stream. And Alex's sister, wife, brother, and other concerned individuals, they asked for help. 24 hours later, on May 23rd, Alex was found wandering confused and alone in the desert, claiming that he was communicating telepathically with Amy Carlson. Love is One, they lied about Alex's whereabouts when his family pleaded for answers as to where he was. Love is One claimed that he was, quote, doing well and with family. The group even lied and said that they were checking in on Alex when he was in the hospital. The hospital denied this claim. It seems like Love is One was intentionally misleading Alex's family for reasons unknown. Time for some good news. Alex survived and is no longer a part of Love is One. Yes! That is a success story, and the Fear Cult wishes you very well. But that just shows how nasty Love is One was with their members, and even more with defectors. Who knows how many people went missing when they were, like, between deserts? Because you don't mix D&D together. And when I say D&D, I don't mean Dungeons & Dragons. I mean deserts and drugs. It's not a good combination. It's still 2020, and at this point, Amy is a basket of cats, with all due respect to the cats. Amy's excessive alcohol intake was inflicting severe damage to multiple organs, her liver being the primary target. Her chronic heavy drinking, it led to the damage of her nerves outside of the brain and her spinal cord, and that resulted in a variety of debilitating symptoms. She had intense pain, numbness, tingling, loss of balance and coordination. She had muscle weakness and digestive issues. Together, this condition is called alcoholic neuropathy, and it's in the central nervous system of the brain. Father God Jason and other male loyalists had to physically assist Amy in moving around. At this point, she's not completely paralyzed yet, but she's definitely having help maneuvering around her house. In early 2020, there were suspicions that Amy was exaggerating her symptoms for attention before the problems truly surfaced in 2021, as there are videos of Amy dancing while she's in Hawaii. But yes, by 2021, her body would become practically immobile because she had no energy. She was so skinny. Her body was trying to keep itself warm, and the slow decline towards her death was really all her life was at that point. She's really starting to consume her colloidal silver, half a liter a day, and she's promoting this to people online, saying that it's that is keeping her alive. On April 1st, 2020, a warning letter was issued by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, and it was sent to Gaia's Whole Healing Essentials, LLC. Love is One Company. And this letter addresses the violations found during an inspection of Love is One's website, specifically the product labeling. The FDA stated that Love is One's products were marked as drugs without FDA approval, making them misbranded and in violation of the Federal Food and Drug Cosmetic Act. This letter highlights specific claims made on the website and product labels that classify the product as drugs, including claims of treating various diseases and conditions like COVID-19. The FDA requested that Love is One take down their colloidal silver, but they never did. And Arkea Aurora defended Love is One's colloidal silver, saying, quote, "The pharmaceutical industry banned it because healed people don't make money," end quote. Arkea Aurora claimed that the entire Love is One team was taking colloidal silver for years and that they were fine. That Mother God was taking half a liter a day and it was the reason her body was as strong as it was to transmute the pain of society. Love is One members, they joked over live streams mocking that those who warned them that it would turn their skin blue if used incorrectly were just idiots. Arkea Hope, she arrogantly mocked the dangers of colloidal silver, and I'm going to say this quote with her tone that she had when she said it. "There was one being where a person just made it so wrong that it did turn their skin blue. Like, they fucked it up so bad. Like, the guy was such a moron. You do stupid shit like that and you ruin it for everybody. Because that one case comes out and then they run with it. Then they're like, it turns you blue. And it's like, no, it doesn't." End quote. Oh, I irritated myself just by doing that. Bring it back. Soon, Amy's skin would become blue. Amy's consumption of colloidal silver had started to build up internally, corroding her stomach, and was turning into silver salt that entered her bloodstream. And this is what turns the skin steel slate blue, and it starts in your mouth. Followers of Love is One, they started pleading in live streams for humanity to surrender to Mother God, claiming that it was their negative energy that was physically harming her. Love is One created fundraising campaigns launched on GoFundMe, and they raised thousands of dollars for Amy. And this money was being used for whatever Amy wanted it to. And there is footage of Amy confessing to a follower that she was spending between $600 and $1,000 daily on THC for pain management. Amy is gradually not appearing in Love is One group videos anymore. She's calling in through the phone and listeners just sit around while she goes off on rants, as per usual. And she can be heard screaming in anger. And this is a tactic that was used to encourage donations, because if she was screaming but no one could see her, then they would get that sympathy. And it's like, look, you have to donate to Mom. Do you hear all the pain she is going through? Members were also manipulated into donating money to Love is One under the idea that the donations were going to fund Love is One crystal schools around America. Amy also created a fundraiser to raise over $10,000 for a tilt-a-whirl for one of their schools. Most of the money that Love is One came from donations. Hope and Aurora actually seemed to aggressively guilt-trip and gaslight their audience to donate during live streams, questioning why anyone would not want to donate to support God. Amy's behavior became increasingly erratic and verbally abusive. Her body is now developing rashes and boils. She started to claim to have hemorrhoids, that she was bleeding from orifices, and she had stage 5 bone cancer. And that usually most advanced cancers are grouped into 4 stages, but she's God. Amy had to be extra. Amy's consuming half a liter of colloidal silver a day, along with increasing her daily dosage of high concentrations of THC with other pain medications, all while continuing her heavy drinking. This is awful. Amy knows she's dying, which is why she starts telling her followers to take her to a 3D real hospital. But they completely brush her off. They tell her, "You're God. God would never say that." And then Amy, after convincing, would go, "You're right. This is me being God, taking in the pain of humanity. It's for a greater purpose." Amy would then aggressively tell her followers and people watching live streams that if they were not following her because her ascension is coming, that they were going to burn in hell if they did not surrender to her. It's now August of 2020, and Amy has fallen into an evil, dark, depressive state. COVID mania is lingering, and Amy tells her followers that Robin Williams has spoken to her and that the ascension process has started, and that the Galactics told Amy that they would open up a portal in the ocean or use starships to pick her up in Hawaii. So she had to select a few of her members, and they had to relocate to Hawaii with her. And when Amy went to Hawaii, she absolutely loved it. She sat in front of the ocean, she drank Muay Thais, and she looked very happy during her live streams. Love is One may have been happy, but the locals were not. Mother God Amy, Father God Jason, and a handful of other disciples moved into a luxury beachfront rental in Hawaii. Soon, more followers would move into a nearby hotel. Love is One announced over social media that they were moving to the island, which outraged the locals. A resident whose home was close to the beachfront house said, quote, "Our community is very concerned. We've been through a lot together and take great pride in protecting the sacredness, safety, and health of our community. They give our spiritual community a bad name, as it seems their intentions are very questionable." When Love is One's Elmoira was questioned by the locals due to the intentions of their cult, he responded by saying, "We're a group based on the ascension of the planet. We focus on astrology, on weather patterns, mainly medicine. Our main form of work is the Gaia's Whole Healing Essentials. We offer other types of healing modalities. We do claim that it can assist in bringing you 100% of health and wellness." When the locals and media, particularly the Honolulu Civil Beat, investigated into Love is One, they confirmed with the Internal Revenue Service database that under the name Love is One, the group was registered as a nonprofit religious organization and not required to file tax returns. Love is One was continuing to run operations in Colorado and planned to expand into Hawaii. The county sheriff's department received numerous calls from the concerned locals about the group. However, since the group stayed within the rental home boundaries, no arrests could be made. During Amy's stay in Hawaii, her sister Tara started regularly watching Amy's live streams. Amy would often question on these streams why people didn't love or believe in her drunken rants. Tara was concerned and managed to get a Skype number to a video call with Amy. She was taken aback by Amy's deteriorating health, noting her poor dental condition, her sickly appearance, and bluish skin. Amy revealed to Tara that she was paralyzed and couldn't walk. Tara expressed her worry and insisted that Amy needed medical help. However, Amy just laughed and responded, "Why are you concerned about me? I'm Mother God." After ending the call, Tara reached out to her mother, Linda, and they brainstormed about how they could help Amy. They decided to contact TV personality and psychologist Dr. Phil McGraw. The show's producers got in touch with Amy to be on the show via Skype. Amy later expressed her disappointment on a live stream about how she hoped it would be Oprah Winfrey who would introduce Mother God to the world, even though she adores Dr. Phil. Members of Love is One were thrilled about her appearance, seeing it as a significant development for their organization and their divine plan to assist humanity. Amy made her first and only television appearance on Dr. Phil via Zoom from Hawaii in September 2020. Amy's mother Linda and sister Chelsea even drove for 24 hours in hopes that Dr. Phil could assist their family. Her sister Tara also participated in the show via Skype. Amy's mother had not spoken to her for a year and a half, and her sisters, Chelsea and Tara, referred to Amy as a mentally ill cult leader, expressing their desire to help her. Cult expert Rick Ross also joined via video call. Amy's mother Linda pleaded with Amy in tears, begging her to come home because her family loves her. Amy calmly listened to her mother and even told her that she loves her too, but will not come home. When Dr. Phil asked Amy's sister Chelsea if she believes Amy is a con artist, or even if Amy is too far to come back, Chelsea responded, quote, "I think it's a combination. I believe that she has been brainwashed, and so I think there's some mental illness there. Sometimes she acts as if she is Amy, and then sometimes she acts like completely different people. I do believe that she is possibly too far gone to help." When Amy was asked why she abandoned her children, she denied doing so. She claimed that she had pleaded with her angels not to force her to leave her three biological children, but she had to make a sacrifice to save humanity. That is when Dr. Phil asked her about her beliefs in Love is One. Amy happily and openly explained that Love is One only wants peace on Earth. And that is when Dr. Phil homed in on very specific questions. Let's talk about the Dr. Phil Love is One episode. Dr. P, the one thing I love about watching Dr. Phil is that because he's on television, many of the people he interviews tend to forget that he's a clinical psychologist and has a postdoctoral fellowship in forensic psychology. He has decades of experience, so when people try to manipulate him or backpedal after he confronts their contradictions with their own documented facts, it's like vacuum marks on a carpet, man. Just so satisfying. Get him! And he gets Amy, as well as Aurora and Hope, who are also on the show via Skype. Amy Carlson, I have to give her credit, though, because she is calm and collected this entire time she is grilled. Xanax pregame? Probably. Blood alcohol content zero? Probably not. Dr. Phil, he questioned why Amy couldn't heal her own paralysis and stage 5 cancer that she claims to have. If she was Mother God, why can't she do it? Amy rationalized, quote, I have made all my attempts to do that myself, and that's why we're here in Hawaii, to really focus on that. And there's not a lot I can do except my life's work. End quote. Amy claims, with Hope and Aurora to back her up, that Amy has performed over 100,000 brain surgeries. And Dr. Phil, he's showing interest. He's like, oh, yeah, tell me more. Tell me more. Please keep talking, Amy. And of course, she does. As an expert does, he listens and he waits. And once Amy is done digging her own hole, Dr. Phil, he casually questions her legitimacy on this claim. He calculates the amount of time it would consume if it were indeed true. Dr. Phil asked how long a typical session took with Amy, and she responded anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour. Dr. Phil gets out the old calculator, and he starts pointing out that at the time of the televised interview, Amy would have been in Love is One for 15 years, publicly as Mother God for 12 years, meaning if Amy has performed over 100,000 surgeries, the math adds up to 6,667 surgeries a year, 555 a month, or 18 times a day, 365 days a year, without ever missing a time slot. Adding how Love is One is not that popular, so where did Amy get all of these alleged people needing brain surgeries? Amy just says that's correct. Dr. Phil, he then turns to Hope and Aurora via Zoom, and they tell Dr. Phil that they themselves have not been with Mother God for 14 years, only 2 by this point, and that they have witnessed her perform more than 30 surgeries a day, and every person to have a surgery has testified to these amazing results. Amy then tells Dr. Phil that that's why she's paralyzed, is because of all these surgeries. Moving on, Dr. Phil then brings up the topic of reincarnation, specifically that Amy claims that she was Jesus Christ and recalls the day she was crucified on the cross on April 3rd, 33 AD. Hope then says, yes, she has the documentation. I'm sure she does. Amy continues to confirm that she recalls all 534 lifetimes. Dr. Phil does the math on that. He averages out each lifetime being 50 years, and that would be 26,700 years. And if each lifetime averaged 30 years, then that would be 16,020 years that she has been alive. And that 2,020 years since the birth of Christ. So 14,000 years she has been on earth before Jesus Christ. Amy responds, that is correct. Dr. Phil says, it's no wonder you're tired. No one is buying Amy's stories except for her own followers. But this is crazy for Amy because Love is One has a rule. Don't question God. She's getting questioned and she starts saying that she has never claimed to be the only God, only that everyone is God. So this is that dispersing of accountability. Like, no, I didn't say that I was God. We're all God. Replay 2,700 videos of her saying that she is the only God and we are all going to hell for not surrendering to Amy Carlson. Dr. Phil then confirms with cult expert Rick Ross that Amy Carlson is a manipulative, exploitive, abusive woman with narcissistic personality disorder. Amy tries so hard to backpedal, and the experts just say, Amy, it's all these posts and all these videos online that I am getting my information from. They're all from your mouth. We're not lying or taking anything out of context. It's everything you have said. All Amy can do is nod at this point. She has dug herself such a deep hole, and Archaea Hope and Archaea Aurora think that they can come up and save her from drowning at this point, and it only ends up leading to a deeper and more muddy hole. This is where former Father God Andrew, his point really makes it clear that Amy's Love is One cult believes that they can't have ego because they are the chosen ones. Meanwhile, all they do is exhibit their ego. Amy's sister Chelsea believes that a part of Amy truly believes what she has created to be true because of her ramblings in her public videos. And most likely now, her hole is so deep that she doesn't even know what's true anymore. And that a portion of Amy is a conscious con taking advantage of people who want to believe her lies, taking their money so she can travel. Unfortunately for Amy's family, they were upset when the interview with Dr. Phil didn't actually help Amy, because Amy was so adamant that she was fine and she did not want help. When Amy left the show, she was fuming. Amy finished the interview feeling betrayed by her family, accusing them by name of treason because they did not step forward and support that she was Mother God. Amy then made a public post that Dr. Phil was fired from CBS and that Love has truly won. Time passes after the interview, and Amy then tells the people of Hawaii that not only was she Mother God, but she was their human vessel of their volcano goddess Pele, causing the Hawaiian locals to become even more furious than before. Locals started to protest outside of the Love is One beach house, and this caused the media to get the authorities involved, and Love is One was escorted out of the state due to cultural appropriation. On New Year's Eve 2020, Amy called her sister Tara, who was terrified to answer the phone. She let the phone ring while staring at her sister's name scroll across the screen. Tara would eventually call Amy back, and Amy told her that she was dying. Tara asked if she needed to call the police or the ambulance. Amy declined, saying that it takes four people to take care of her, and she did not want her family to take on that burden. Tara expressed that Amy can and should come home where her family wanted to help her. Amy only declined, as the two sisters exchanged their final I love yous. Early in the new year, Amy began expressing how she missed her biological children to her followers. Amy messaged her biological daughter Madison on January 3rd, 2021, letting her know that she was there if she needed her and that she loved her unconditionally. Madison missed her mother and knew that if Amy only gave up her Love is One, Mother God nonsense, that her family would have welcomed her home and helped her recover. In March 2021, Amy told her followers that the Galactic Angels had started the ascension process, directing her to move back to Mount Shasta, California. They told Amy that she would soon be picked up by a starship. Amy traveled with Father God Jason and devotee Archaea Faith back to Mount Shasta. In the HBO documentary Love is One, Archaea Faith shared that she and Father God did everything they could to alleviate Amy's suffering, as by now she remained in a wheelchair, and her face was no longer the only part of her body to turn a shimmery blue. They would comb her hair, add colorful extensions, and wheel her around in a lawn chair to keep her engaged. Archaea Faith also continued to administer Amy's daily doses of RSO THC oil and colloidal silver, having 100% belief that these would help heal Amy's physical body. However, many followers were aware that Amy's declining health would soon lead to her death and the subsequent ascension into the 5D realm with the Galactics. Amy claimed that she needed to be 103 pounds or less to be carried on the starship, and that it was going to be her God energy that would be transferred back into the 5D realm. Meanwhile, the core followers of Love is One, known as the First Contact Ground Crew Team, stayed in Creston, Colorado. They continued the live streams and ran the Gaia Whole Healing Essentials business to maintain the organization's financial flow. This team included the most dedicated followers, as well as Archaea Hope, Archaea Aurora, and Archangel Michael Lamboy. Back in Colorado, Archaea Hope and Archaea Aurora continued their daily live streams, expressing their excitement about Mother God's impending ascension. They even speculated about Donald Trump being the one to pick her up in Air Force One so she could finally join Robin Williams. Together, they eagerly anticipated Mother God's moment to tell the world to fuck off. In March 2021, Amy announced that she had received another message from the Galactics to relocate from California to Oregon. Her followers, Archaea Hope and Archaea Aurora, were apprehensive about this decision, given Amy's deteriorating health. Her mobility was completely gone, and her body mass index was alarmingly low. Father God Jason was devastated to see Amy, the woman he loved, in such a state it frequently brought him to tears. Despite her condition, Father God Jason, Archaea Faith, and other followers managed to transport Amy to Oregon in a van. Soon, Archaea Hope and Archaea Aurora were instructed by angels to inform Amy that it was her time to ascend. So together, they rushed to find Amy in Oregon. The sight that greeted Archaea Hope when she entered the hotel room, where Mother God Amy, Archaea Faith, and Father God Jason were staying, was heart-wrenching. Amy was in a jacuzzi, covered in blankets, with Father God watching over her. Amy's weight loss had been so severe that her body struggled to maintain heat. Amy had mentioned that she wanted to go to the hospital, but the Galactics were telling her not to. Amy claimed that she was prescribed a cocktail of substances by the Galactics that included muscle relaxers, Xanax, RSO capsules, marijuana, and colloidal silver. This caused Amy to lose all cognitive function and left her completely paralyzed. Archaea Faith had to leave at this point, unable to bear the grief of seeing Amy's condition worsen despite her efforts. On April 16th, 2021, 45-year-old Amy Carlson passed away. Her followers, Archaea Hope, Aurora, and Father God, were devastated as she took her last breath in the hotel bedroom. They stayed with Amy's body, struggling to comprehend the reality of their leader's death. Despite Amy's physical departure, her followers continued to revere her. They wrapped her body in a pink Sherpa blanket and treated it with the utmost care, applying oils and even makeup glitter to her face. They even claimed that Amy was resurrecting, insisting that they could still detect a pulse and even her breath. They continued to administer water and colloidal silver to her body for 3 days following her death. As the days passed, the hotel staff grew concerned about Amy's well-being, and they tried to enter her bedroom. Realizing that they needed to leave, Father God Jason, Archaea Hope, and Archaea Aurora wrapped Amy's body in blankets and placed it into the back seat of their van, making it appear as if she was sleeping. They even managed to evade the police when transporting Amy's body to a nearby hidden forest, where they met with the remaining Lovers One members. Despite their initial belief that the Galactics would collect Amy's body in a starship, they soon realized that they would have to take care of the body themselves. Some members began to question the Galactics' intervention and their final resolution. When no spaceship arrived to collect Amy's body, Jason decided to transport her body back to Colorado. Jason noted that Amy's scent permeated the car, a reminder of their leader's physical presence. While Amy's body was being transported back to Creston, Colorado, Archangel Michael Lamboy had withdrawn a whopping $200,000 from the Lovers One bank account, which was under his name. The followers started to worry when they found out during their return home. Not long after, Michael had taken out the remaining funds. Lovers One member El Moira would later reveal that Michael Lamboy had drained a total of $330,000 from Lovers One. The circumstances were bizarre, and the group returned back to Colorado on April 27, 2021. Members started to grasp the gravity of the situation, with the decomposing body of Amy Carlson resting in the bedroom of the Colorado headquarters trailer. The day after the group's return to Lovers One headquarters, Michael Lamboy returned home as well. He discovered Amy Carlson's body in a makeshift shrine in the back bedroom, adorned with Christmas lights. He was immediately horrified and rushed to police on April 28, 2021. He informed them that the group had returned from Oregon with Amy's body. Michael claimed that he had not spoken to Amy for months and that he had not given the group permission to stay at his trailer. This statement later sparked controversy, as Michael was known to be a high-ranking archangel in Lovers One and was publicly documented in live streams and videos, despite his claim to the police that he was only managing the group's finances. The police statement was as follows. Mr. Lamboy stated that when he found a deceased female, known to him as Leia Carlson, that Mrs. Carlson's skin appeared gray in color and her eyes were glazed over or missing. Mr. Lamboy stated that the body appeared to be mummified, with Miss Carlson's teeth exposed through her lips. Mr. Lamboy stated that Mrs. Carlson was wrapped in a cloth and stated that he attempted to take his son. He wanted to leave, but the other people in the house would not let Mr. Lamboy leave with his son. It is not known where his mother currently is. There is an ongoing complaint with the County Department of Social Services regarding Mr. Lamboy. Mr. Lamboy then left the residence and drove to the police department to report the possible death of Amy Carlson. Lovers One is known to take people from all over the world. The county sheriff's office has received many complaints from families within the United States, saying that the group is brainwashing people and stealing their money. Ms. Carlson is believed to be the leader of Lovers One and goes by the name Mother God. On April 28, 2021, a search warrant was executed at the home of Michael Miguel Lamboy to check on the welfare of his 2-year-old son and to investigate the report of a deceased woman on the premise. Corporal Stephen Hansen of the Colorado Police led the operation. Inside the house were several members of Love is One, including Ryan Kramer, known as Elmoira, Christopher Royer, Sarah Rudolph, Karen Raymond, Jason Castillo, Father God, John Robertson, and Abdulia Franco. Also present was Michael's 2-year-old son and Karen Raymond's 13-year-old daughter, both whom were asleep at the time of the search. The Love is One members cooperated with the police and were arrested without incident. The officers discovered the corpse of 45-year-old Amy Carlson, who had been dead for several weeks. Her body was in an advanced state of decomposition. It was wrapped in a sleeping bag and adorned with Christmas lights and a makeshift shrine. The room was decorated with rainbows, hearts, unicorns, stars, creating an almost eerie childlike atmosphere. Amy's eyes had been rotted away and glitter had been smeared over her empty eye sockets. Her teeth protruded through her decaying lips and her face was blue, which the officers initially mistook for paint, but it was the result of the colloidal silver she had been consuming. Corporal Stephen Hansen was taken aback by the nonchalance of the group members regarding the deceased body in their midst. The 7 adults were arrested, and the 2 children were taken into protective custody. In an interview with the Daily Mail, Amy's estranged 25-year-old son, Cole Carlson, expressed his shock at the circumstances of his mother's death. He had anticipated a premature death due to her lifestyle, but was still taken aback by the details. Cole was more distressed about the victims of his mother's cult than her death. Upon learning that a 13-year-old girl and a 2-year-old boy had been living in the cult shrine with the dead body, completely broke his heart. Cole expressed to WRKN.com, stating, quote, "It tears me up that she was doing damage to other people's families and children. The most upsetting news to me out of all of this is the fact that there's kids found on the premise who probably saw her body." Amy's body was transported to the El Paso County Coroner's Office in Colorado Springs soon after her discovery. DNA testing confirmed her identity, and her small 5'4" frame only weighed 75 pounds. The autopsy concluded that Amy's death was due to organ failure, resulting from alcohol abuse, anorexia, and chronic ingestion of colloidal silver. Contrary to her followers' claims of her use of only organic products and rejecting conventional medicine, Amy's body contained non-organic prescription pain medication. Amy's remains were subsequently returned to her family. The 7 followers who were initially arrested were released on bail for charges of corpse abuse and 2 counts of child abuse. However, the charges related to Amy's corpse were dropped following the release of the autopsy results, which indicated that her body had been cared for. Further investigation revealed that Michael Lamboy's name was listed on all federal documents associated with colloidal silver medicine scheme, contradicting his claims of no involvement. A former cult member and ex-Father God, Andrew, suggested to the Daily Mail that there may have been a sexual relationship between Michael Lamboy and Amy Carlson. Michael Lamboy has since declined to comment on Love is One and has maintained a low profile. After Amy's death, followers Archaea Hope and Archaea Aurora, among others, continued their live streams to announce Mother God's ascension and reassure their followers that Love is One was not going anywhere. They believe that Mother God's mission was just beginning. Many members have since left Love is One, viewing it as a period of transformation. However, some members, including Father God Jason Castillo, still believe that Amy Carlson is and forever will be ascended as Mother God. On a live stream on May 15, 2021, Archaea Aurora told followers, quote, "Mother God accomplished the greatest achievement that all of creation has ever seen." Archaea Hope revealed that Michael Lamboy had withdrawn all the money from Love is One and taken down all of Mother God's websites. However, they believe that everything that happened was part of the divine plan and that she completed her divine plan. They felt that it was their duty to continue spreading the word of Love is One. While many members left the cult, the core devotees created and continued offshoots of Love is One beliefs. One faction is currently founded in Florida by former members Archaea Aurora and Archaea Hope, rebranding themselves as 5D Full Disclosure, where the members' page states, quote, "God was here, she ascended, now it's our turn." They continued to promote the dangerous alternative medicine online, earning a 2022 warning letter from the FDA from the sale of plasma colloidal silver eye drops, Gaia's organic nasal spray, and copper healing roller. Colloidal silver is one of the 3 listed causes of Amy Carlson's death. A second splinter group, awkwardly named Love Has One, Joy Reigns Two, or Joy Reigns for short, was started by former Father Gods Jason Castillo and Father God John. In addition to posts dedicated to Amy Carlson's memory, this group also offers Christic Awakening sessions for over $100 a session, continuing Amy Carlson's selling of etheric surgeries to woo over the phone. They are keeping Amy Carlson's beliefs alive. Many former members of Love is One, including Hope, Aurora, Jason, John, El Moira, and others, participated in the 2023 documentary of Love is One, Mother God, where they still claim that Amy is Mother God, and they assert that Mother God cannot be killed. That is the true bizarre case of Amy Carlson and Love is One. Now, if you've seen the HBO documentary, then I hope you understand now why, after finishing it, I myself knew that I had to examine deeper so you guys could see the case for its entirety. Amy needed professional mental help, and it shows how she brainwashed her members so much to believe in her that even when she said, "I'm not God," they reinforced their beliefs that she was God and that she was just spinning from all the dark energies. It's very sad, the case that happened to Amy Carlson. Her family loved her so much, but they were scared to help her. It's a scenario where, unless you're in that situation, it's very difficult to say what you would have done. And I think her family is very strong to talk about it. I would like to thank Tyler from the Team TNA podcast for volunteering his lovely acting chops to the voice of Andrew. Thank you, Tyler. You were wonderful, and the Fear Cult thanks you.
There'll be more, many more. They're coming for me now. And then they'll come for you.
The never-ending quest to find a truly scary movie continues, and I am recommending an Indian Hindi folk horror film, the 2018 title Tumbad. Here at the Fear Cult, we love foreign horror, and this film surrounds a man and his son who encounter a legendary demon while searching a decaying castle for hidden treasures in the 19th century India. So check it out. And thank you for listening to Lullaby the Fear podcast. Please rate 5 stars wherever you listen and share the podcast to support the show. Follow for updates on Instagram and Threads at Lullaby the Fear podcast. Thank you for listening to this week's lullaby. Sweet dreams. Lights out.